Welcome along to 30 something gamers episode 2. We made it. We did a pilot and people actually listened. They all thought it was terrible, but they listened and we're back for another one. Artie, how does it feel to be accepted by the masses?
Well, it's been wall-to-wall cocaine, Tom. It's been, you know, I'm waiting for Nike to knock down my door and sign me up for a 5-year sponsorship deal. People have been asking me to sign their copies of Ride to Hell Retribution. It's been absolutely insane.
And that's as what we've got to do it for?
Exactly. The fans.
Not because we enjoy it or anything. It was purely for the cocaine and endorsements.
But no, it's been really interesting. And as we found out, we are in the top 50% of podcasts in the world, which out of about 3 million is not a bad statistic, I would say. Although when you look at the fact that there are 13 million podcast episodes in the world, then it does dampen your spirits a little bit.
It does.
Never mind.
But I mean, in your head, you can see a top 50% is 30 million. We're better than like 7 million-ish people.
And I like that odd. I'm going to put that on my CV.
Better than 7 million people.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just keep this momentum going. It's been a roller coaster already. Let's ride it out.
And this is the thing as well, with our analytics, we can see where we're being listened to. So if you are that one random person in Saudi Arabia listening, hello. I was going to say what Saudi Arabian was for hello, then realise I haven't got a clue. Also, someone in Helsinki. Do you know anyone in Helsinki? Is that your gran or something?
No. Mate, we're in our 30s. My grandmother passed away years ago.
So did mine. Why does this keep going to therapy? Let's focus on the games.
I think that's just being 30 years old. Everything goes down to a depressing route in time. That's just, you know, the way it is. Fantastic. We've had America as well. But yeah, most people are from your parts, Tom, the north, the sunny north.
We're all just mates up here, so it's all my family and friends. We don't have any probably organic listens at all in Sunderland. It's just my family put the numbers up. So when I say I'm better than 7 million, we're basically saying my family's bigger than 7 million other people's families. But the most exotic places have to be Luton, Brent, West Dainton and Newton Abbey.
I can smell the T-shirts already.
Your favourite podcast in Helsinki and Brent. Like that writes itself. The royalties will be coming in. First things first, in the world of gaming, what have you been up to this week, Artie?
I've actually managed to crack on with a lot of gaming this week, which makes a nice change. Love Island is on at the moment, and my wife absolutely loves it. So she goes upstairs and watches the telly, and I get to game for about 2 hours, which is fantastic. So I cracked on with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, which I've had for ages, but I just never got around to it. And I finished it last night. And overall, awesome game. I think variety-wise, lacks a little bit towards the second half, but what a little charming game. Few people online said it's like a Pixar film, and I totally get that. It's so cute. Actually, I have a icebreaker for us, Tom, because when I was playing it, I was trying to reel off in my head, because I do talk to myself sometimes, how many Ratchet and Clank games there are. And I'm asking you for a number of how many Ratchet and Clank games there are.
Do you have the actual number there?
I do. I've written it down.
Do you know what I liked? I like the PS3 era where they're all innuendos.
They're all innuendos. Even the PS2 ones were.
Was it?
Up your arsenal.
Wasn't that? I thought that was PS3.
No, I think it's PS2.
Because there's up your arsenal, something to do with booty. The quest for booty.
Quest for booty, yeah.
Tools of destruction. Okay, so let's have a thing. PS2, you got Ratchet 1, Ratchet 2, Locked and Loaded, Ratchet 3, I don't know, Ratchet Gladiator, then on the PS3, there's Up Your Arsenal, Tools of Destruction, Quest for Booty, then there's Rift Apart, I'm at 8 at the minute, and then, are you including wasn't the Agent Clank? The PSP game. Yeah. Are you including that one? Right, okay. Yeah. And I've probably missed a couple, so I'm going to go for 11.
Not far off. There's 14 Ratchet and Clank
14
games.
Which ones did I miss?
How insane is that? And I always thought that as a series, it's so good. They're all really good. But so many of them, like there was one or two I'd never even heard of.
Go on, and now what were the ones that you'd not heard of?
Into the Nexus something, which was like a 2013 one.
Was that like PSP or PS2, or was that?
I think it was on PS3.
Ah. And they can go quite expensive, the PS3 ones as well, because in my PS3 collection, I'm just looking for mainly like exclusives, which obviously includes Ratchet and Clank. And yeah, some of them are getting quite expensive. I don't think they've always sold loads of them, but I'm with you, consistently good games. But 14 yeah, is a lot more than I thought. Like I say, I got about 9. I thought I probably missed some. But 14, I didn't think it would have that many.
And if you were given the task as a marketing director to name the next Ratchet and Clank game, what would it be?
So it's got to be child-friendly, but adult-approved comedy-wise.
It's got to be like Shrek's sense of humour.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Ratchet and Clank and the Shaft of Time.
Shaft is a good innuendo word. Why time?
Because they're all about time, aren't they?
All right, okay. Right,
or Shaft of Destiny. They're like throwing in words that don't really mean anything.
Well, I'll, on the same thought, I'll go for a word that isn't really bad, but people maybe cringe a little bit when they hear it. Ratchet and Clank and the Moist Adventure. And it could be an underwater-themed game. A child picking up that game, that's absolutely fine. It's the Moist Adventure. Every adult is going to look at that game and go, ooh.
It's going to make them cringe.
Yeah. That wasn't me job, was it? I was trying to make them laugh, not cringe.
Yeah. Ratchet and Clank and the Mechanical Juice.
I think I would laugh at that more than the Moist Adventure. We'll go with Ratchet and Clank, the Mechanical Juice. If you're listening, Insomniac, you can have that one for free. Just credit us at the end.
All right, what have you been playing this week then?
So I've been playing a couple of games on stream. We've been doing Tomb Raider 2. I've finished it. That's of the remastered version. I finished that with pistols only and picking up all pickups, which is a horrible thing to do because you get to the end of the level and you're missing one. And I'm a dumbass anyway. I have a couple of people who were on my stream who were huge Tomb Raider fans. Amelia and Vicky, thank you so much. And they'll say, you should have this many now, you should have this many now, or there's one here. And I still get to the end of a level and I'm missing one every time. So people on my stream, what's really good, which would have made it worse if it wasn't there, is you can go into photo mode. And on photo mode, you can fly around the whole level like to take a photo. It's not locked to like a certain distance from Lara. So you can just basically float for it around the level looking for where you've left this pickup. But then, people come to my stream and for half an hour, I'm like just flying around the level like the Flight of the Navigator, trying to find one pickup. And it just boiled my piss. But it's done now. It's done. But I do love the game. And I normally complain about the games I love the most. I don't know why. And we've just started The Witcher 3 as well. I've done it before, but we're going for the platinum. So we started streaming that. And I got a shadow ban because the sorceress got her ass out. And I got that panicked. I couldn't switch the scene to be just my face. Because if you get your ass out on TikTok, you get a shadow ban. So I was banned for 10 minutes. And then all of the content and stuff that I made this week just hasn't hit the levels that it should. And that's not sort of like me going, oh, my work is brilliant, it should be getting more views. But you'll know, Artie, when you look in your analytics, you'll go, I can see why this one did well, I can see why that one did well, how many seconds people have watched average and stuff like that. And I had some good videos that just didn't get to anywhere. But that's ended now, so that's good. Going back to last episode, got the email, officially, Jack and Daxter's slowest speedrunner right here.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I don't know whether Verifier was annoyed with this. I can't sense the sarcasm through the email, but he sent a message through saying, well done, blah, blah, blah. It's been verified, all that, and at the end, one just said, well done on being last. And I didn't know whether it was like tongue-in-cheek, he watched it, he had a laugh with me chatting and stuff, or he was like, oh, well done on being last, well done. I couldn't get the tone out of it, but it's official, officially official.
Well, I'd be angry with you if I was the one watching that. I would have written you a letter, like old school, and I would have wiped my bum on it as like a signature.
Mm.
Very official, worded and everything. I'd stick to my guns.
Rubber stamped?
But, I'd just spit on it.
Oh, that's I've heard that one before. Anyway, as well as that, I scored an absolute beast of a bargain. I had to drive all the way to Scotland for it the next day. But it was a nice outing for the kids, 3 hours in the car for Daddy to get some games. It was up
Are you
in
being
Jedburgh.
Serious?
Yeah.
You had a family day out to go and get some games?
Yeah.
Did you not do anything else, or did you literally?
Well,
just
when
go
we
to
got there,
house?
I realised I'd had a 7-month-year-old and a 3-year-old in the car for an hour and a half, and it was an hour and a half back. So I thought, let's stay a little bit, go to the play park, have a look. There's like castle-y thing in Jedburgh. So we did things, but this guy who was the most Scottish person ever, it was the weirdest beard I've ever seen. He was wearing literally, and I've got a lot of love for the Scots, but you know the tartan that you have on Scottish shortbread. Literally, yep. His trousers were like that. I thought if he was taking the mick out of a Scottish person, he couldn't have dressed more Scottish. Massive beard. Wasn't ginger. I suppose if it was ginger, you would go full stereotype. But it was the strangest beard I've seen, right? You could see, you know where the chin is?
Yeah.
You could see his beard sort of come round, but then where the edges of his chin were, his beard was still there, but it was like indented a bit, like even at the bottom. So you could see like a shaft, we'll go back to that word, of beard that was like slightly indented all the way down. Strange looking man, but he was lovely. And he paid £300 for some video games.
And you're saying that's a steal?
I got 240 games, two consoles, a collectible figure. If I was to buy just the games from CEX, £964.
Okay.
Put two consoles on top of that. Put this figure, it's a Halo 2, the Prophet of Truth, still sealed, everything in the box. The last one sold on eBay open for £65. So I'm probably get 100 for that. So a lot of the games are duplicates. What it means is I can probably add, I think there's 86 games I need. So I'm going to add 86 games to my collection, and hopefully I should be able to make my money back on the other one. So basically adding 86 games for free. So that's why it's a part. It was a lot of money, but sometimes when you get to my point of the collection, you've got to sort of spend a lot to make it worthwhile. Like if you buy one or two games on your own, you might get a couple of quid off. You've got to buy big, full 200, 300 game collections to like get them for free, basically.
Well, I mean, it makes sense to you.
It was a lovely day out. I had to, my boy always started nursery recently. Like since Christmas this term, and I had to be like, right, we've got to do stuff here. There's no way you can go to nursery. And they'll say, what did you do at the weekend? We drove to Scotland so Dad could buy some video games and then drove back. I thought we might get put on a watch list or something. So that's why we went to the park and stuff like that. But no, it was a nice day out for me.
Well, I must admit, I like the transparency in your family, Tom. What I have to do is I have to very sneakily change the delivery dates for times when I'm going to be the only one in the house so I can quickly get that fucker open, get it on the shelf and just blend it in with all the other ones. And you're bragging about your £300, 280 games or whatever. Well, I've speculated as well this week. I've bought Saw on PS3 for £20 off Vinted.
Oh, there you go. It's a lot more on CX, isn't it? It's an expensive one, that one.
Not as much as I thought it was going to be, because I thought on Vinted, I thought, oh, that's a steal. But then on CEX, it's only about 25. So it's
see, the
not
thing
as,
is, as well, you get...
Saw 2 is more expensive.
Right, that's a...
But that's the shitter one.
You get sucked in by Vinted as well, if you're lucky. But they'll you look at the price, like £15, and then it's like, and plus your fees, and then plus your delivery, and you add another like £5-6 on, and then you're like, you buy it, and you go, shit, it's the same price as if I just went to a shop.
Yeah, and you get the shambolic packaging as well from Vinted. People who sell stuff on Vinted, I mean, the last thing I had of it was had about two rolls of brown tape all around it. It took me about a week to get into it.
But literally no packaging, just taped, because I've had that one before. Yeah,
yeah, just tape, and it fucks up the box. And
it's when people think acceptable packaging is a bin bag. Put in a bin bag, wrap it full of tape. Like, no, that's no protection at all. I'm buying like a 30, 40-year-old game and it's going to get cracked because you're a knacker. Not on. Less about us, more about games. Let's move on to remake, remaster and recycle. This one I found a lot harder than last week's. Last week we did Simpsons, Road Rage, Wrestling and Hit and Run. This week we are doing the Batman Arkham series on the 360 and PS3, which is Barkham, which
that's
is
the dog game.
Bat Dog, which is Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City and Batman Arkham Origins. Because when we were first talking about this, we were floating the idea of putting Arkham Knight in, which I don't think would have been as hard a decision. but having Origins in there has put a cat among the proverbial pigeons. So, Artie, what was your choice?
Well, like you, Tom, I found this one really difficult, and I thought about it ever since we announced it a couple of days ago, and even having my morning poo this morning, I was still deliberating about where to put what and where. So I think they're all really good games. I think Asylum, for the original idea, and I think the characterization of all the villains is the best. I think City has probably the best kind of design, and I think Origins has some of the best ideas. But I think the execution in Origins could have been a little bit better. But I love Origins because it brought in the detective side of Batman. And I love that they tapped more into the comic book angles with the Killing Joke, the kind of origins of the Joker. And it did that scene with him and Harley Quinn when he was in Arkham and she was a psychiatrist. So I got a lot of time and love for Origins, but I feel they could have made it a little bit better. And then on the other side, I think Origins is pretty much Arkham City, but with a side of cheese. It's just a little bit extra to City.
But and don't we all come in for that cheese? That's what we're here for.
Yeah, but I feel bad that it always gets left out. And even in trilogy packs, they leave Origins out. And I feel so sorry for
it. Is that a licensing thing? Because I've noticed that all of the original thing, I always expect to have Origins on. And then when it's not there, I'm like, oh, that's got to be a licensing or company.
I think it's because Asylum City and Knight are all Rocksteady. Mm-hmm. And I think Origins was Warner Brothers Montreal. So it might be a developer contract.
I feel like Warner Brothers have known to be dicks, didn't they? With Lord of the Rings, the Nemesis system or something.
Yeah.
Do you know how the copyright that so no other games can use it and then don't use it in any other game or anything like that? So they haven't got the best practices from what I know anyway. So it's probably them just going, no, you can't have our game.
And it's a shame because that Nemesis system would work in so many different areas.
Oh. And do you know what it is? I do love it in Lord of the Rings, but I do think it could be done better. Don't ask me how. Like we mentioned last week when we were talking about being game developers or whatever, I don't have that intelligence to know how to make it better. I just feel like there could be loads of things added and changed. But I don't know when the copyright runs out. It'll probably be sort of utilised when that runs out on it.
Yeah. With Batman, I think the only thing that's letting down Asylum are the boss battles. They were pretty shit, I thought. City is a pretty solid game all around, and Origins just a little bit of execution problems. So it was a really difficult one, but ultimately I landed on Recycle Asylum, Remake Origins, and Remaster City.
Well, hold the phone.
Because you're agreeing with every word I've just said.
Every single word that you said. I had exactly the same three games. And I'll give you my reasoning for it. I agree with you. Origins, great game. But there's a few things that could have done better on it, which I think why a remake is ideal for that. And when it comes to a game, because we've had the other Batmans now, sometimes when you go back to the original Batman, you see the boss fights walking down planks of wood while a crocodile falls off it when you throw a boomerang in his face. And the other ones, I don't think are great. Like, the Joker fight being like a rehash of like fighting the big, brutey guys earlier on, I don't think's great. So with you, recycle that. And it seems sacrilegious that it started it and it had so much, and everything grew from there, but I think because everything grew from there, it's hard to go back, that one being a little bit more linear and having a few of those rough edges. That for me, the best in the series is City, and I think if you're going to remake that one out of the three, it's got to be that one, because that's the one, give it a lick of paint, and it's an awesome game. So it does seem really bad to say put Arkham Asylum in the bin with it being so influential with the combat system and all that and everything that grew from it. However, I couldn't see anything else to do. So in the comments, if you're shouting and screaming at us saying Arkham Asylum, how can you put that in the bin, let me know what decisions you made and why, because I don't know how you can make any other different decision, but it was so hard to choose between them.
No, it was a good one. But I think Asylum does some of the things a lot better than the others, like the Scarecrow fights and the where he's tripping out and the game crashes and then it goes back to the beginning. That's such a standout moment. I think that's one of the most iconic video game moments in history. when you know you're walking down the corridor and all it glitches and you think your game's crashed and it pulls a Eternal Darkness kind of moment on you.
Well, do you know what it is? I was going to mention that because I've never played Eternal Darkness. I bought it for the collection. I couldn't get me GameCube working at Halloween. I was going to stream it, but I think we'll do it next Halloween because I've heard so many great things like that where you think it's going. Doesn't it in the Batman Arkham Asylum? It flips, so you're in the straitjacket and Joker's walking you down the thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's great. And it's sort of the scarecrow toxin gas. And I love Arkham Knight. I really do. I think it's one of the better ones, actually, Arkham Knight. But the characterization of Scarecrow, they made him so sensible in that one. Whereas in the original, he was just an absolute fucking lunatic. And he was a real crazy guy. And in Arkham Knight, he was this public speaker kind of, well, Mr. Wayne. And I thought it really lost a lot of edge. But
And I think in Arkham Knight, for me, it was obvious who the knight was going to be.
yeah.
If you know a little bit of Batman lore and stuff like that, I think it was really obvious who it was going to be, which sort of spoiled it. And I didn't go for the platinum, I went for the full, all the achievements because I was still on Xbox at that time. And the Riddler trophies on that one can, my God, they ramped it up for no reason. No one wanted it. Like, I would rather take, well, you probably spent like 10 hours searching for these. Give me a 1 hour, 2 hour sort of side quest actually thought out for the Riddler, which I think in these games, that's one thing I don't really love about the Arkham games is obviously he's the obvious one to make for collectibles, making the Riddler's trophies and giving stuff like that. But I mean, I don't think it means it like the flesh out his quest and what it could be and what main missions could be as much because they've just thought we need him for collectibles. So we'll have talk over the radio every now and again to you and have all these challenges, but not really flesh him out as much as such a like iconic Batman character I think should be. So I'd like him to do something with like sort of him as well.
That's why I just don't bother with the collectibles. Just don't bother. It's like, right, fair enough, it's there, but I don't have to take it.
But then
It's like
how
going
do
to
you
a
get the extra 1 minute cutscene at the end to know that Batman's still alive? Oh, spoilers. Batman's still alive?
Well, what you do is, Tom, you go on YouTube and you type it in and you get to watch it there and then.
No satisfaction. I want to be nursing
Well,
a semi because of all the grinding I've been doing when I'm watching that 1 minute and it just doesn't work with YouTube.
yeah, but you've just moaned for like 2 minutes about collecting all the trophies. You sound a broken man. Like,
I don't enjoy doing it. I enjoy the release.
steady on.
Right, so here's the part where on purpose Artie tries to rile you up. It's what he lives for, just to wind up the masses online. He's going to give us his hot take. Artie, this week, how are you offending people?
I'm going to go balls deep on this one because I went quite mild last time, I thought. But this one, no one ever agrees with me on it. But it's one that I stand on a hill and shout about. I agree with this to my core. I think they really messed up Kratos in God of War 2018 and God of War Ragnarok.
This is interesting because I have a flip-flop view of this because I felt one way and I feel another way now.
I have a pitch for you.
Okay.
I'm going to stand on my soapbox.
That's what we're here for.
So let me take you back to 2005 when God of War first came out. This hyper-violent, bloody, gory graphic game, which no one had ever really seen before. And this character who was so ridiculous in every way, shape, and form. And I thought the whole point of it was that you couldn't relate to him. He did things that defied logic. You know, he would kill all the gods just because he had a problem with one of them. And in the third one, that's pretty much the plot. He destroys the whole universe because he just has his narc on. And I thought the whole point of Kratos was that he was so over the top and so cartoonish and so beyond comprehension that that's what made him so entertaining to watch. And the fact that he would just kill somebody because he needed a counterweight, or he'd tear off somebody's head because he needed something to see in the dark. And he does that in number three. He kills the god of light by tearing off his head because he needed a candle. Like, that's who does that? Kratos solves his problems with some really strange logic. But that's what made him so entertaining and so much fun. So then, like, when they brought 2018 God of War out, He was all mature and he was very quiet and he didn't want to let out that side of him because it's setting a bad example for his child. And it's like, right, okay, I appreciate this evolution of the character and it's nice to see him take a new direction. But of all the characters in the whole of the video game landscape, the one person who I didn't want to grow up was Kratos, because he was so much fun to be around, just for that reason of being so mental and so clearly unwell in the head. But fair enough to them, it's nice storytelling with the relationship with him and Atreus. But it just took out so much of the fun of the character for me, and the slower pace and the, oh, I can't let people see the real side of me, was just so unnecessary, I thought. I mean, do it with somebody else, do it with Nathan Drake. Like, he did need to calm down, and Thor kind of tapped into that a little bit. But you take the most colorful character of all time and you beige him up, and I don't understand why that is celebrated so much. They made him into Joel from The Last of Us,
Right, I see.
and I want him, and I want my Looney Tunes character back.
See, I see what you mean. I see
Thank you.
what
We'll
you're
leave it
seeing.
there.
No, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, for me, the original games and the new sort of Nordic mythology ones are completely different, but I absolutely adore them. Now, I'm a big story-driven game. Like, I love The Last of Us when you mentioned Joel there. I love The Last of Us, and that's probably playing into it. I did love the original God of Wars. I never played the original God of Wars on PS2. I got the HD collection when I had the PS3
Yep.
and played through them all there and absolutely loved them. Had so much fun with them. But I think when it comes to it, like when you mentioned Nathan Drake there and you said, why don't you do it with him? Like, it's so hard to do something like what the modern God of Wars do and keep it like sort of in with the story. So I always try to use that big word, but to make it sound smart, but the problem is I always forget what the word is. Something about dissonance, something, I don't know. It basically means when your gameplay doesn't line up with your story. So
Yeah.
Nathan Drake's this character, he's not a maniac or anything like that. Then you go into your game and you're basically murdering hundreds of people, and then he comes and he's having this, oh, but how can I do this? How can I do that? When he's just bloodthirstly murdered people without any regret or anything like that. And it doesn't weigh up, so sometimes it can sort of take you out. Whereas with Kratos and that God of War, he did have that sort of, like you say, a mature boy, dad having to deal with all that stuff. And obviously, his character was there, but I still believed, and maybe because of the early games as well, that he would do the shit that he would do in the game when he's ripping them in half and when he's taking them out. And that moment, did you not just delight in it when he goes back to his house is it Atreus is taken and he goes back to get the Blades of Chaos and he opens it up? Did were you not like, oh?
Let me just wind back. So I think they're really good games. I
Yeah.
think 2018 and God of War Ragnarok, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
It's just that characterization, and yeah, a great moment. And at that point, I kind of thought, ooh, he's gonna let the stabilizers off, and he's gonna go a bit more crazy than what we've seen him at the moment. But he didn't really. He just
No.
kind of kept that similar demeanor
And
throughout.
I think they've stuck with it as well because Ragnarok for me is nowhere near as good as the God of the first one in their new. I'm assuming it's going to be a trilogy. The first one, because there was too much Atreus and it was focusing on the story a little bit, and that got a bit convoluted to what it is. And in that way, I think if God of Rock Ragnarok, obviously you'd have to say sorry, but it came out first, I would be completely on board with you saying, you don't do that. I'm playing as it as low. I'm just gonna call him Loki. Loki knocking around, doing stuff and things like that. And that's not what I want in a God of War game. But I think in the first one, I really enjoyed it. And I'm not very good at hack and slash games. I was
No.
owned by Devil May Cry as a child, and I think it's put up a mental block. So I think it was like, oh, here's a one where I can. I mean, I still took out the Valkyries. They are hard fights. The last one, and you still had that in. I see where you're coming from, but no, for me, for me, it was a step that had to be taken. I think, have you played... I think if it was there wasn't anything else in that sphere, there's no more games and stuff like that, that's absolutely fine. But I think you had that sort of redemption-y arc thing or something you make a good story out of, and you still have games like... Have you played Hades?
Yeah.
Like, is that...
No. So I look at it as God of War didn't need a kind of redemption arc. I didn't think Kratos should have calmed down at any point. And they do kind of tap into that he's making mistakes in the original, and he is very careless and he doesn't think about the wider picture and things like that. But I always thought that was the fun of it. I thought this is a really nihilistic series which doesn't care about a happy ending. It's just about one bloke throwing an absolute hissy fit for three games. And that's essentially what, and in Ascension as well, he was pretty mental in that. But I love the defying all reason kind of approach he had. And I guess the new ones, they're really based in kind of reality. You know, his relationship with Atreus is very much like a father and son who don't quite see eye to eye, and he's still figuring out how to be a good father and everything. But it's like, with Kratos, really? This nutcase? Like, did it have to be him? Why not do that with Snake? Like, that would have been interesting. Give Snake, Solid Snake a son.
No, because Hideo Kojima's not there, and we saw what they did as soon as he went, what was it called? The zombie one they brought out.
Survive.
No, oh, yeah, just Survive. Stay away from that IP altogether, Konami, or give it away somewhere. Just don't. But for me, thinking about it as well, let's go back to it. Why did Kratos go absolutely radio rental in the first one?
Because he killed his family.
There you go. It's always been about his family. So, are you hoping start of the next God of War game, Atreus gets killed and he goes batshit crazy?
That would be the perfect happy ending for me. Atreus dies and Kratos goes back to being an absolute nutcase. And you know what? They try to bring in the drama and stuff into the original God of War, but because of how over the top it all was, I just never thought it was supposed to be taken seriously.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But then for me, there's really good story moments and stuff in the first three about Kratos as a character that I don't think, again, you take seriously because of the game that it is. So the fact that he's white because he's wearing the ashes of his murdered family that he murdered because he was tricked by a god is like a huge sort of thing that could be explored and stuff like that. And to be fair, most people that go to war games who aren't really paying attention probably don't even know that. They probably don't know that Kratos is actually black. You know what I mean? They just think he's this white coat and that's his character design. And I think those story beats maybe could have been looked at a bit more and missed out, because how dare we play a game for fun?
But that's what games are all there for. It's fun.
And I'm a trophy hunter. You know I'm not here for the fun.
No, you just like to torture yourself. No, and I'm all about fun. And I'm a huge champion for stories. You know, I think the medium of video gaming to tell a story is fantastic. I don't think anywhere like deep films or music going to get anywhere close to what a game can achieve. But with God of War, that was just pure fun for me. And I just wanted chaos. And the new ones literally put the stabilizers back on and put its seatbelt on and just let it said calm down a bit.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. I can see your viewpoint and I can see exactly what you mean, as in how it's changed and how different it is from the first one. But the reason I can't agree is how much I love the God of War games. When you're seeing... Why with Kratos? Why with this or the other? Yes, I think they might have calmed them down like too much, or there'll be fans who, like yourself, love that game that think, oh, they didn't need to do with him. But when you're mentioning names like Joel and Nathan Drake and stuff like that, I don't think it would have worked as well with them. I think it had to be Kratos. I can't think of any game with the same type of, like, because you still obviously brutally murder and the same. Colour changed Gollum every 2 seconds and stuff like that in the game. You're still doing all that and you still got that anger and stuff like that. I can't think of a game or a character that would have fit into there as good. And I think what made it better was knowing where he came from. so knowing yeah. how much of an absolute mentalist he was, and like you say, ripping someone's head off or a light or whatever it was he was taking out the universe, just, I mean, because he fancied, or getting so angry he rises from the seventh circle of hell back all the way up to the gods to take someone out and go back in time to kill his dar. That is huge. But then when you're doing certain story beats, when you're getting the story, I think you forget how absurd the first few were, but you remember, Christ, this guy was a maniac, and look at him now. And you see that battle within him of, I just want to rip things to shit. I just want to rip this in half. I just want to, but I can't. And you only get that because it's a character we know and we have done lots of times before. So if you did it with someone else, I don't think it would have connected as much. So I understand that you don't like that they did it to him, but I love those games, and I don't think they could have put another character in there that would have had the same effect.
Well, all right. Okay, fair enough. But as you say, they you know, hark back to his past and try and get him to restrain himself and things. But we are playing a video game. Mm-hmm. Like, surely that's part of the fun. And in so many points in God of War 2018, I generally thought, ooh, if I know my God of War, we're going to go into some crazy, epic, set-piece boss battle. Mm-hmm. But there were very few of them, I thought.
I know. I would have liked more as in, there are sort of showy ones, but the more yeah. sort of like button prompt ones, aren't there? Which, obviously, the original God of War's had a bit, but you'd have to take it down first. Then when you got to the end, you're doing some button bash to, like, pull its eyeball out or something like that. Whereas these were, I think, of the, like, the first boss battle where he obviously turns up at your door, knocks on, and that's good, but it seems very scripted, like you're watching a cinematic and you're only doing a little bit in between, which I think they could have improved on. But I think that's more sort of gameplay choice, because there was some good combat in there, and like I say, the big boss battles that are in there are, I think, quite easy, but they proved they could still do good challenging fights, because the Valkyrie fights were really cool, but obviously they were optional, so a lot of people didn't get to Sigrid. Is she the last one?
Yeah. Yeah,
lots of people didn't get there and have to get good, or whatever you call it, and that for me really made me connect with the game and stuff that as well. And it was that thing of you having, again, for the story beats, you're having that absolutely brutal fight, and he's not worried to do his head there. But then it's just that change of he's saving her, isn't he? She's been possessed or something like that. And it's just that slight little sort of change in it that I think, I don't know, I like. I think we've come to an impasse where, for the first time on here, I mean, we're only two episodes in, but we are disagreeing. But I also see your point of view. And I respect you for the first time ever.
Wow. Call a press conference. No, and I respect you as well, because literally I've gone out on my TikTok a couple of times and I've shared this opinion, and so many people have disagreed and they've explained a lot of reasons like you. The best one I got, and I'd love to have weighed into it, but I didn't bother. I wish I had. This bloke said, you need to do a film studies course to understand why it's brilliant.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. This is why I think it's brilliant. I've did radio and TV production at university, so you're just not on my level, Artie. I'm with him.
Excuse me. I did English literature at university, and I got a solid third. So I know what I'm talking about. No, I understand the approach, and fair enough to them. It's very mature. It's very artistic. But my boy Kratos was not like that, and I feel they really affected his legacy in a way. It felt like Bugs Bunny saying that he's going to go and work in a building society, you know.
I wouldn't
and he wants
to
see
be... that.
Would you? All right, there you go then. But I'll continue to play them, and he's still interesting, but they should have left him well and truly alone.
I would have completely agreed with you if the games weren't good. That's when I know that I see your point of view, whereas, like, if the games weren't good and I was going, oh, no, but they still needed to change it, but they didn't do it well. If God of War wasn't good and the story wasn't as good as it was, I would have probably completely been on your side and said, why are they doing that? It doesn't work and stuff like that. So it's hard, because the only reason I'm not agreeing with you is I love what we got because of it.
There we are. I think we've shared our thoughts around it, and neither of us have changed our minds. So this section was completely pointless.
No, but
What's next?
it is. It's not pointless because what we can do now is we can tell our all of our audience, hi ma'am, that in the comments, let us know whose side you are on and if
Well, it's
you.
obvious everyone's going to be on your side, isn't it?
Why?
No one's going to agree with this.
Well, I sort of half agree with you.
Okay.
They've got to give a cogent explanation as well, though. That's something new for the internet. You can't
Oh.
just get on a box and shout, this is right because I see it. You've got to give a cogent argument. So let's leave that. Let's see what
Exactly.
happens there.
I've recently had this. I did my Silent Hill 2 remake the other day, and it was very positive. I said they did a good job, but I said I didn't think it was better than the original. And one guy who got literally 10 likes from the comments, which I know is not many in the grand scheme of things, but for us it is, he just said, "You're wrong." And it got so many likes. I was like, hang on a minute. Don't just throw your fart bubble into this conversation and then just leave. You have to explain yourself, Buster. Why do you think I'm wrong? Why do you think it's not as good?
When it comes to this, when at the end, we'll tell you our socials and stuff like that. So you've got to stay around because you don't want to miss that. But when you made a video on your TikTok, doing like bogus reviews for the podcast to promote and stuff like that,
Bogus.
the funniest one that you said out the whole thing was, by the way, follow Boxyarty on TikTok if you don't. He's a wordsmith. I love watching you, so I always say that. And I'm blowing smoke up your ass, but I don't care.
You're a gent, aren't you?
When you just you had some really good ones, well thought out, like sort of what words you were using and stuff like that. And then there was one where you just said, "This one just says I haven't heard it, but it sounds shit." And because that's the internet in a complete nutshell. That is the internet. I tell you what it is. I will do this before our next episode will be a couple of weeks away. Normally, when I do my TikToks, if you follow me, you'll know. But if you don't, I'll do a lot of like sort of footage of old games because I've got a retro collection, stuff like that. I'll do pickup videos where I'm seeing what games I've got and stuff like that. But I'll talk around them, and I do ones with like just opinions, people comments have said, and talking about old games, things I've noticed from games, a lot of pieces like that. And I'll think about them. I'll talk about. I do a lot of it at ad lib, but I'll think about what I'm saying, and I'll think, oh, it's because of this. Again, I give reasons. What am I doing on the internet? Why don't I'm going to put out a video, maybe two, for next 2 weeks without any of the understanding, without any of the explanation, just hold up a game and go, this is shit. And then I'll do another one where I'll say, this is the best game in the world with nothing else. And let's see if they get more views than the videos where I actually talk about it and go through stuff. And I bet they do.
I bet you any money you will.
Yeah.
I think you'll get thousands and thousands of likes.
One of my most viewed videos, and I honestly think it's because of this, the start of the video, I'm like holding up Echo the Dolphin and say, this is like a terrible game and loads of people liked it. And if you have a look at the graph, because if you're not a TikTok creator, when you do a video, it has a little graph of when people are sort of stopped watching. And it has got, I think it's going like 50, 60, 70,000 views at the minute. And the
Yeah.
graph is just like that. It's just people watching the start. They just listen to that first sentence and then the comment or like or share or something like that. And they're not bothered about the minute. They just are bothered either someone agrees with them or they want to shout at me because they don't agree with me. And if
Yeah.
you want to make it on TikTok, just say something outlandish straight away with no facts or no basis.
Or do what I do and make every video about 10 minutes long.
Make YouTube content for TikTok.
Yeah, I've got a whole raft of that this week as well. So many people say my stuff is way too long, but I can't be asked to make a YouTube account. Effort.
You just put your email in and a password?
Yeah, but it's taken me like a year to build up the TikTok. I don't want to waste any more time building up another account. I'm a busy man.
You've just done something that I did when I realised I was middle-aged. I was in class, oh, it was a couple of months ago, and I called YouTube the YouTube.
Oh yeah, that's
I
bad.
said to a kid, have you, oh, I was watching it on the YouTube and I stopped and I was like, I am nearing 40. But you've just
Yeah.
said, I built up, oh, wait a minute, it could have, yeah. You said the TikTok, but I thought you referred it the same way as I had. But I think you just said, oh, I built up the TikTok channel, but you didn't say channel. So I built up the TikTok over there. I don't know why you've turned Yorkshire. I don't know. It's my old Maybe. Person voice is Yorkshire. Everyone, when you hit 70 and you're, oh, hey up, lad, I'm fucking 70 now.
I don't know. The more I talk to you, Tom, I probably feel like I am going to turn northern at some point. Your text messages need a translator. Don't. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know what it is?
I have to decipher them. I need like the Enigma code or something to decipher your text messages.
Everyone who knows us, who is listening, will completely agree. Because, to be fair, I thought it was just I had the fattest Prince Charles fingers, the biggest Prince Charles fingers in the world, and I'd hit the wrong button. But then my missus, who's got an iPhone, I've got Samsung, was using it, and she did the same, where she's hitting the wrong letters and hitting a letter instead of space. But I'm at the point now where I've had my phone for so long, I just can't be bothered. So I do proofread my message, and I just go, they'll work it out. Fine.
Well, newsflash, I don't work it out half the time. Especially when you use northern slang, which I struggle to comprehend over text messages. When you said, I'm putting the bairn to bed.
That's not northern slang. People know what bairn is.
Isn't it Scottish?
Well, like I say, I'm like an hour. People think of like Newcastle and Sunderland, north of England. We're basically in Scotland. Basically.
Yeah, when you said you travelled up to Scotland, I mean, for me, that is literally a plane journey away. And you said it was an hour and a half, so you're much more north than I thought you were ever going to be. Yeah. The chances of us ever physically meeting are diminishing by the second. You live far away, man.
I do. We honestly have more akin with the Scottish, I think, than the rest of England, but we get to say we're English, which is good. For some reason, people look at you sometimes when you say you're Scottish. Not that I randomly go around saying I'm Scottish. I just did a lot of travelling with Scottish people. And as soon as they mentioned the Scottish, they just think they were like alcohol-fused, absolute maniacs. But I do wish I was Scottish so I could say the phrase that was only invented for Scottish people and cannot be said by anyone else in the world, and that is, that's legal tender.
Yeah, that's true. I used in a video once, I said this game is pish. And somebody commented, I'm assuming a Scottish person said, you're using pish in the wrong context.
I see, again, being close, I thought it was pash. That's fucking pash.
Pish, fucking pish.
No, see, that's a southern Scottish accent. It's pash. That's pish. Pash.
Pish.
Pash.
Pish.
Right, if you're Scottish, in the comments, is it pish or pash? I don't know how we got here.
No one's listening to this.
they turned off a long time ago. So now we're moving on to room 101. We did this last week. We're going to do it again because we enjoyed it so much. We might move on to something next week. We don't know. We'll have a look. But room 101, if you don't know the concept already, what we're going to do is we're going to pick concept, things, people, whatever it is, and it goes into room 101. What that basically means, it doesn't see the light of day ever again. We erase it from humanity. We've got a few things coming up. I was thinking, can I go first, Artie, seeing as we've just had your hot take? I've got
my
a good one.
Oh, I'm on tender hooks then. Be my guest.
Okay. I was thinking about this earlier on, and this might... People might be happy with this one, but what I want to put in room 101 to start with is Ubisoft.
The whole company?
The whole company. And I don't want them to go into room 101 and be forgotten, like sort of, oh, it never existed, blah, blah. I want them to go in from now, we had everything there were, and then, oh no. And the reason I want to do that is there's been a lot of talk of them really, really hanging everything on Assassin's Creed Shadows. And if it doesn't go well, they're going down the shitter. For me, go down the shitter. And that's not saying I don't like Ubisoft games. I love the Assassin's Creed series. I've got them all. I've played them all up to Valhalla, but I'm not getting to Valhalla yet, and I can't play Mirage yet because my OCD won't let them do it out of order, even though it doesn't really matter. And for me, they have some great games, really good games out there. But I want this to be a wake-up call for the industry. Ubisoft have very much went down with, especially like, sticking with the Assassin's Creed, seeing as that's what the game that they want to go sort of hammer and tong with and need to do well. they've went down, especially with like Origins and Odyssey, and from on there, they're planning 74 DLCs before the games came out. You've got your, what do you call it, like on Fortnite, it's Game Pass, but what they call them on like single player games, I don't know. Whatever those passes are, where you get, you pay for costumes, you pay for microtransactions to level up your character rather than play the game. No, don't play the game, just pay us and you can beat this boss really easy. They've went down that route. They've went into sort of semi-formulas where the reason I haven't played Valhalla is because you know I'll have to go for the platinum and it's about 150 hours because you, not because the game is that big, because it has the same mindless go up, do a point, clear the camp on such a big scale that it just is tedious and monotonous from like near the start, never mind that many hours in. And I wanted to be a wake-up call where people see if you just treat the video game audience as cash cows, as this is money, it's not art, it's just a how can we make money and stuff like that, you're gonna go bust and you're gonna go down, and people will always flock and put money into companies like Remedy that we were talking about last week, where every game seems to be a passion project. Every game has everything in it. So for me, I'm not saying I hate Ubisoft. I hate sort of where they've went now. And I would like them to go to Room 101 so other companies think, you know what it is? We can't take the mick. Let's actually make video games that are fun to play.
Interesting. And I kind of half agree with you, I have to say. We have a lot to thank Ubisoft for, I would say. They pretty much set the blueprint and the framework for pretty much every open world game we have right now. And I'm not like you. I don't like Assassin's Creed. The fourth one's the only one I really like because it's the one that's pretty much trying to be everything that isn't an Assassin's Creed game. It's a pirate game.
And that's my favorite Assassin's Creed as well. Black Flag is my favorite one.
I really like it, but I can take or leave the other ones. But Far Cry 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. And I think that sets such a standard for where they are today. And I suppose it's the Resident Evil 4 kind of argument. Did it make or break the landscape? You know, because those two games did pretty much everything for what we've got at the moment. And while I love Far Cry 3, I think that formula has just been so tried and tested now of the open world sandbox where radio towers open up a bit of the map, loads of dots are where you have to explore everything, that it's kind of lost its charm again. But Ubisoft made really interesting games back in the day. I think they did Beyond Good and Evil.
Was that Ubisoft? I'm going to get some of the games there. See, now this is where I also, my argument comes from. I completely agree. They made some great games and had some really good ideas. I'm just going to open up to the Ubisoft. So yeah, absolutely great backlog of games that we've got there. Beyond Good and Evil, yep. Call of Huraz, I've never played those games really.
They did Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Prince of Persia and the Sands of Time.
Yes, they did the South Park, the Stick of Truth.
Oh wow, yeah.
Great games, love them. Absolutely adore that South Park game, it's great. The Rayman series with, obviously, went lost its way a bit, then really good with like Legends and Origins.
Yep.
But it's more, if it was another big company that had went down that path of churning out the same stuff over and over again just to make money, battle passes, microtransactions, stuff like that, I would be saying the same about that company. It's less so Ubisoft and more the way big games companies are going. I understand to please shareholders, stuff like that, but it just feels like the passion, and you know, being roughly the same age as me, Artie, that back in the day when games came out, you on SNES, me on Mega Drive, you know for a fact, everyone that was making those games were players. They loved games. And yes, probably the programmers and stuff are now in those big companies, but the people making the final decisions aren't. It's money, not the game. And in a way, what I don't want them to not get money, and of course I don't, more money in games and becoming massive and things like that is absolutely amazing, because you get absolutely juggernauts of games with such high budgets and stuff like that, that do stuff that just was dreamt about back in the day. I don't want them not to make money. I want them to see they can make more money by making good games. When you look at the big titles, one we've been talking about early in the podcast, God of War. God of War didn't go down the microtransaction, get this costume for Kratos, get this, that. They actually gave away a DLC for free, didn't they? One, I don't know, it was E3 or something. They said, oh, this DLC's available from today and it's free for anyone who's got the base game. That game has sold loads and it's lauded so highly. I mean, obviously, I don't know in regards to how much money it made, where it stands against other games, but I want them to sort of go down that route of make a good game, generally care about it, and people will pump money into it. But I don't know whether games like Fortnite and GTA 5, which again is a great game, have ruined that now because the companies see how much money they can make from these models. Obviously, the amount, how the longevity of GTA 5 and how much money they have made on that. Obviously, everyone's looking at that and going, I want a piece of that pie. Well, especially if you're high up in a company. Same with Fortnite. We know how many imitators and stuff they are. There you go, free to play. But then the amount of money they've made from add-ons and microtransactions is unbelievable. And I think it works well with Fortnite. I've played Fortnite when it first came out and stuff like that. When I see they've got like the OG map now, I was thinking, wait a minute, that's the map that I was on last time I was playing it. But
it's all lost on me now.
Yeah, I think it works with that because you're given the game for free. It appeals to a certain audience, and it's that audience of you don't have to buy your kid a new video game every week and stuff like every month or every birthday or whatever, or can I just have some V-Bucks or whatever it is, and they enjoy the game, and that sort of building up that community. But then those mechanics try to get put into every single game, in games where it doesn't work because, oh well, it makes money. Have a look at was it Suicide Squad?
Oh god, yeah, that was a train wreck. That was
I bought that and it's still sealed because I just looked at everything. I thought I don't want to play it.
No, but it's almost like an AI conclusion, really. I always think they're just going off the basis of what has made money, and we should just keep doing this blueprint of, as you say, just pump out the same game over and over and over again with this kind of life cycle where, you know, new things are added and the microtransactions play a heavy part in it. And I agree with you. I think it's very rare to find a true burst of creativity and play something that's actually really original nowadays, because everything is just following frameworks, and it is sad. I wouldn't say put the whole of Ubisoft
get them into
room 101.
Yeah,
I say
France can go with them.
I'm gonna half say agree with you. Put Assassin's Creed in room 101.
No. All right. So I'm back that internet thing of not giving an argument or any discourse or anything on it, just no. I think it would take something big for the whole industry to change, because as gamers, we're not going to stop buying the stuff. People will still pay it, even though the argument against that they don't agree with it. It'll take a big hit to go down for any change to happen. That's what I think.
Very true. It's a bold one, and I see the direction. I think Ubisoft has good work in them, and I think Rayman is a good example as well. Bring that back. Do another Rayman iteration. I think that would be a nice wake-up call. They did one quite recently, and I didn't think it was too bad. I need to look at the list of games.
Well, they brought out 2024, they brought out Skull and Bones, which was a copy of Sea of Thieves, but terrible. I've got that sealed. I've got a friend, I think, he's probably listening, so I shouldn't say this. He probably buys his games and thinks, oh, I'll get him 3-4 games for birthday or Christmas or something like that. And we'll say, oh, that's on offer. We'll get that one, get with that one. And there's a reason they're on offer. So Skull of Bones and Suicide Squad are sitting there sealed. Far Cry 6 was 2022. Star Wars Outlaws? Did you play that?
No, I heard that was bland as a piece of white bread, so I didn't bother with that one. I liked Far Cry 5.
Is that the South of America? Not South America.
That's the one where the American cult.
Yeah, yeah. And then Far Cry 6, and it's the which cult I've not leader. Played yet. That's got the chicken man from Breaking Bad in, hasn't it?
Gus? Get his Gus. Name right. You can't.
Do I've not, only watched do the first three seasons of Breaking either. Bad.
Well, why did you stop there?
I think something happened. Like I've got lots of things in my life where certain series or game series or TV series or whatever it is. I started watching, and then I had 3 years where I went away for like 6-7 months working in Greece. And you just sort of, I couldn't get back into it. Then I went travelling for a year, and you sort of stop what you're doing. So I think it was one of those where I was watching something, went away, and then just, for me, I do want to watch it, but I'll have to rewatch the whole thing.
Do yourself a favour. If you can put 150 hours into Final Fantasy Rebirth, you can put in, I don't know, 100 hours or whatever it is into Breaking Bad.
214 hours into Final Fantasy.
Well, that's even sadder.
There's loads of people I see, especially trophy hunters who like grind stuff out like that, that listen to podcasts, one here for you, or like watch TV shows while they're doing the grind, and I can't do that multitasking.
Tell you what, after I finished Ratchet & Clank last night, I put on Power Wash Simulator, because that's my meditative game where I can just zone out.
See, I am I was slightly offended when you were saying, oh, that's sad, done 214 hours, do something else, man. And then you came up and said, oh, my go-to's Power Wash Simulator. So I feel better about myself already.
Have you not played it?
It was one of the PS Plus games, so it's in my catalogue, but I haven't got through it yet. I do actually think it would be strangely therapeutic to play it, to be fair.
It is, and I'm one of those weirdos who watches videos of like people cutting soap and mowing their lawns on YouTube. It chills me out. I don't know what it is. It's so peaceful. And as a dad who has got a lot of jobs that I do need to do around the house.
So the car outside, dirty.
Exactly.
The car outside is absolutely full of muck. You know what it is? I can't be bothered to wash this car. Let's go and play some video games, what we'll play, and get the power wash out. We'll wash this car, virtual car.
It's power washing, but without getting wet. What more do you want?
That's the fun of power washing, surely?
No, it's all about, it's like colouring in. It's
I nearly lost a toe because of a power washer. You know, an intrusive thought? I can't control them. So when I was travelling, I worked on a cotton farm in Australia for about 5 months in the middle of the outback. And there was no health and safety. You weren't taught how to use or do anything. Like, I was made to like cement things, make cement mixers, drive like tractors that are worth like $500,000 Australian dollars and stuff like that. Just getting, oh yeah, that's cool, that's about to get off, like, weren't bothered. And I was just power wash simulator. I was doing the tractors at the end of a shift, and I had it in my hand, and obviously this is a big, like, from one end of the farm to the other to drive was about 40 minutes. It's like a big commercial cotton farm, so we had big commercial power washers, and I had flip-flops on, and I just looked down on my foot with the power washer in my hand, and the thought of just what would it feel like, just a quick blast. And I stood there for like 5-10 seconds, and then just something took over my finger, squeezed, and blew me big toenail off.
Ah.
Literally, really? Just the smallest of tap at me big toe. I could actually see me big toe fly off my foot. That's the type of guy I am.
You sound like a fun night out, Tom.
Get the power washers out. We're in for a good one. Right, what's the first thing you want to go in Room 101, Artie?
Well, I brought a prop with me, and you have to agree with me on this one. I'd be very surprised if you didn't agree with me on this one. And talking about Ubisoft, I brought a Ubisoft game with me, but I'm not having a go at them. So it directly relates to this box art. And for people listening at home, it's a Switch game, which is Mario and Rabbit's Kingdom Battle, which is a good game. I think it's good. But on the box, it says, download code only, no game card is included. And in terms of the most pointless inventions in the entire universe, that has to be up there with the chocolate fire guard. Why on earth is that an option?
Did it come with any paraphernalia, like a manual or leaflets or anything like that? Or was it literally just an empty plastic box with the code in?
It's an empty plastic box with the absolute gall to put the outline of where the cartridge should be.
So they haven't even created separate boxes where the cartridge is not going to be in. It's like, here's what you could have had.
Yeah, it's saying, oh, we know this is where the cartridge is supposed to be, But fuck you, we're not doing that. Now, you and me are physical game collectors. We clearly don't care about the whales. But seriously, why is this even an option? I don't know who would want this. And I've talked about it on my channel, and people have said, well, you know, why did you buy it then? And to be quite honest, I clearly didn't read the fine print.
I was going to say, did you know, or did you sort of like... Because there are some people that would buy it to have it on the shelf, just the box. I know those people. I'm not like that, but I know some people would do it. Did you know, or did you think the cartridge is going to be here when I get it home?
I thought the cartridge was going to be in there, and it was one of my, you know, Amazon spending sprees where I just was putting a few things in the basket, and I just saw Marion Rabbits, and I thought, yep, that'll do. And then it arrived, and there's nothing in there, and there's honestly nothing I can do. This is useless. It's completely useless to me. I can't sell it. And in terms of the physical collector side of things, it doesn't give me any joy because I haven't got the cartridge.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to download it, I would have just bought it on the store, and I wouldn't have bothered waiting for the 2 days for the package to arrive.
Well, I'm just going on to Amazon now. You might know this. Are there two different versions? Can you get a cart of this game?
I'm not too sure. I assume you can.
So that is there a price disparity? Can you get it like with the code and with... That's what I'm trying to look at the minute. I'll type in digital code. So that's 26, and it doesn't say it doesn't have a cartridge. I'm very much with you on this one, because I almost was going to say digital downloads completely.
All together.
Being a retro collector, I know the ease of them, but for me, it was going to be too specific, which is why I didn't go there. I was going to put digital only games for games that clearly shouldn't be digital only. So Tomb Raider Remastered, clearly aimed towards older gamers and older collectors, came out, and then it was a year later until they brought out the sort of the physical collection, which is what I got. But that's a game that clearly is not for like the new... I mean, a lot of new gamers and stuff might get into it, but there's going to be such a big audience for the actual physical release, and they didn't do it. Same with Alan Wake 2. Alan Wake 2, digital only. So I think more digital only games I was going to put in, rather than... Obviously not indie, because it's just an overhead thing, isn't it? I can't see online whether you can buy it with them or not. You buy a gold edition, they might give you a cartridge and a reach around with that one. You never know.
I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Who would you... Oh, no, I'm not going down that one hole. Which Mario Kart? Nah, no, we'll leave it. There's only one, it would be Toad.
I understand digital downloads, and I think in terms of saving the planet, you know, great initiative, fair enough. But for something like this, it doesn't satisfy anybody, I don't think.
You know, but for me as well, digital downloads aren't there because they're trying to save the planet, which is a good thing. Digital downloads there because it's cheap for the company to bring them out.
That's true.
And you can't resell the game, so you can't make money from pre-owned games. And they have a monopoly on the price of the game. That's why the PSN network's getting sued, aren't they, at the minute, because of price fairness or something. Because obviously, when they've released some games digitally only, they've got a monopoly, and certain markets and stuff, you can't have a monopoly on prices and stuff for fairness and stuff. Yeah. And it'll be another letdown, but such is life. I agree with you completely.
I think I'm rubbing off on you now. You seem more depressed than I am.
Let's hope I make the end of this season.
Maybe we might swap roles. I'll be really giddy and happy, and you'll be just, you know, a miserable git.
Well, we've got to have a balance. We can't have two pessimists or two optimists. We've got to have that balance. So we might do a double switch. You never know. Completely agree. Who's selling an empty box of a game? Did you have a look online to see whether it was cheaper to just buy it digitally than buying an empty box?
I think it was pretty cheap anyway. It was only about 15 quid, and it wasn't that old.
Now, you're saying pretty cheap. You bought an empty box for 15 quid.
Thank you. Well, when you say it like that, I feel so much better. As my name suggests, though, it's got good box art. So
it is.
There is something there.
I've always been meaning to ask this, Artie. Is your name your online pseudonym, all based around your love of box art?
Yeah, because when I first started,
Let's take it back, right? Because you've brought it to the forefront, talking about pessimist and optimist, asked you a lovely question there about the origins of boxy arty, and we start off with a, yeah, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how
if we're
going to
switch. If we're going to switch, come on, give me some northern cocker spaniel.
Well, I'm not gonna even attempt to do yours. But no, I originally started off very optimistic, and I thought I'm just going to talk about box art because I thought that was a gap in the market, in a way. And originally, I didn't talk and I didn't show my face, and I was literally just pulling things out of my collection and just saying, "This is a really underrated box art. You know, what do you think?" And I did that for a long time, and then I quickly realised that it was a stupid idea to only focus on box art because I ran out of ideas within about 4 days. So I evolved and then started to talk a little bit and then plucked up the bravery to show my mug. And then it kind of evolved from there. But I kind of like the name. It kind of stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And people think my name's Arty, and that's fun. I quite like that. Yeah. And it's not. I do like talking about box art because I think video game box art is very untapped and it's not spoken about enough, and most video game box art is kind of terrible when you think about it, but especially the earlier days on Genesis and SNES, there's some absolute gold out there. And speaking to some of our friends on TikTok around kind of vinyl, because we have Liam for the Record and Sam Vinyl and Games as well, they've kind of opened the whole kind of interest into vinyl art, and I think it's amazing. I think if you're an artist and you pull off something absolutely fantastic, like Symphony of the Night box art, or there was a Marvel versus Capcom one which I think is outstanding. I think Far Cry 5 one is outstanding, where they do the spin on The Last Supper. One of those box arts where the more you look, the more you kind of see. It's like a Where's Waldo.
I also like terrible box art, especially when you see from like back in the 90s, like the old Mega Man cover. And you look at the Streets of Rage 2 cover, not one of the characters resembles the main characters at all. But I think, you know what it is, I'm gonna stop you there, Boxy, because you're using some golden material here. We're going to have some definitely box art conversations in future episodes. We'll dangle that carrot on a stick for everyone listening.
Dangle away.
My next one, Artie, is good and bad endings on games. Now, I don't mean choices. I don't mean sort of when it comes to Detroit Become Human. Yeah. Heavy Rain, Mass Effect even. I don't there. A game like Red Dead Redemption, so big in its scope and stuff like that, you have two endings, good or bad. There's no sort of grey area where, oh, we did something's good, something's bad, and that sort of changes it slightly. There's only two. And it always makes me, when I'm playing, say, Red Dead, I do all the good things or I do all the bad things. I never play it sort of, what I do in this situation. And I think that takes away from a game. I mean, it's harder to have like 6-7 endings, branching paths, stuff like that. But in big games where you have all those moral choices and those big things, it would be really cool if you just didn't have A or B. If you had those in the middle, and if you didn't have a right ending. Like, oh, you play the game like this, but this is the bad ending. Well, this is how I played it. This is how I wanted the game to end. There's so many times when I'm playing through Mass Effect. Mass Effect less, because it can really change. Like in Mass Effect 2, that last mission, depending on what you do, completely changes who you've got and where you put people and stuff like that. That can have lots of changes. But even when I'm playing that game, there's certain times where if I'm being it's Paragon, isn't it? If I'm doing all the good things, there'll be a time. I think there's one way you can like smack a reporter. You're getting an interview and you can just, he asks you a question or she asks you a question, I don't know, and you can just lay them out. And when I'm doing my main runs, I've never laid them out, which in my mind I think, Christ, I'm the good guy, but that's really rude. I'd probably stick one on you, but I don't, because I'm going for the good ending or the right ending. And I think less so good and bad endings that aren't thought out about. Just you're good or you're bad. There's nothing in the middle.
Going down this road, it surprises me a little bit because you are a platinum trophy person and you put so much time into things. I would have thought that whole design and the approach would have spurred you to play the game more. If you think, oh, I've got one ending, now I'm going to play it a completely different way to get a completely different ending. I thought that'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, it can be, but what sometimes happens, and normally they don't align the trophies up with it, so you'll just have one, you've got to get the good ending, one, you got to get the bad ending, and it might be quite good because rather than playing the game again, which I have to anyway because I'm going for all the trophies, you get a different things happened and different this and the other, but a lot of the time it's just the ending movie's different. That's what gets us, you know what I mean? It's Mass Effect did it well, where your choices affect people, and obviously the whole Heavy Rain and those games are based on your decisions, so you can't really include them, because if there was just a generic ending for them, there's no point in those games, is there? So just in games where it's just good or bad, the game it ruined for me the most was Dishonored. So to get the best ending, don't use all the amazing powers that will give you, because you need to keep chaos low, which basically means you don't kill people, you don't do this, do that. So they give the ability to like fly invisibly halfway across, like garrot someone, the head goes over, you fly across, make someone else float above like a dumpster fire, put them on it and burn them, and then to get the right good end, and you can't use any of that, you got to sneak past them.
I think the whole good and bad is so subjective though, because I think it's in Far Cry 3. I thought the bad ending was the better one, where you're shagging her on the table and then she ends up stabbing you. I thought that was an absolute showstopper of an ending. And the good ending was he just goes home with his friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a boring ending.
Well, that is a look into Artie's psyche there. He would rather than go home with friends, shagging on a table, then stabbed.
Yeah, it's a perfect Monday night in, isn't it? I agree in the sense that, say, if you play the whole game and then it's down to one decision at the end to decide whether it's the good ending or the bad ending.
That was the big whole Mass Effect 3 thing, wasn't it? You get to the end and it's like, do you green, red or blue or something, and that decides the ending.
Yeah, but I kind of disagree that I think if it encourages you to play the game differently, then it opens up more content and a new way to play it, and it gives you a fresher perspective.
See, I come more from the angle of not want makes me want to play again. I come from the angle of it forces me to play in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm saying good or bad, I'd like to possibly just be a third middle ground, where you got your good, where you do everything good, you got your bad, where you do everything bad, then you've got one down the middle where it's just a human that does good and bad things depending on the situation. There never tends to be that ending of, do you know what it is, the best ending is you acted like a human, you weren't a saint, you weren't a sinner, you were someone down the middle, makes mistakes, gets angry, hates some people, but all in all was a decent person, which I think is most people when it comes to anything, never really done in games.
And you think that'd be something quite easy to implement, really, just a middle ground ending
where
you're a flawed person with good things and bad things about them. I always thought Infamous did it well, the if you're a good person or a bad person, that kind of direction with it. But yeah, I kind of somewhat agree with you. I like, unlike you, who can play a game over and over again to get your bling in the corner, I think if it offers something, a fresher perspective or a new way to play it, then I'm all up for that. And in terms of it forcing you to play in a certain way, I think some great games are built on that, you know, like Sekiro. If you go into it thinking it's just going to be like Dark Souls, you're going to get completely thrown into the ground. You have to force yourself to play it in its own way.
I'll take somewhat agree.
There you go. Okay, so my last one, and it taps into what we're talking about before with Assassin's Creed, and I'm actually in favour of Assassin's Creed in this design choice. What I honestly hate is first-person parkour. So games like Mirror's Edge.
I was going to say, would it surprise you to tell you that I've got the platinum on both Mirror's Edge games?
No, it doesn't surprise me, Tom.
I've never played Dying Light. Is that? I didn't know how much parkour was in Dying Light.
It's based pretty much around it. It's the Dying Light 1 and 2.
What is it you don't like about it? Is it the motion sickness or...?
It's just disorienting. I don't have any perception of where I am or what's around me. And I think for how fast it's trying to be, and traversal is what it's obviously after, I don't think it achieves it as well as third person. I think third person is just such a golden solution to parkour. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it. And I put in a disappointing games list Ghost Runner, and people tore me a new one because I didn't like it at all. And it was purely because of that perspective.
Yeah.
Because if you get hit once, you're dead and you can't see what's behind you. You can't get any sense of scope or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I thought the whole problem I had with that game would have been resolved if it was third person. And I think, although I don't particularly like the Assassin's Creed games, I think that traversal of third person parkour, same in Infamous, same as Spider-Man, is just so fluid and so comfortable. Why try and do it any other way? And I understand, I suppose, from Mirror's Edge's perspective, that it's a little bit more intimate and the combat's a little bit more up in your grill, so you can feel a little bit more on edge and a little bit more pressure. But for fast, quick movements where you have to jump around and climb, and just having that wider camera and that drawn back perspective just makes it so much more comfortable.
Well, I'll tell you why the world agrees with you. If I was scrolling through TikTok or YouTube shorts or whatever, and there was a first-person parkour video, I wouldn't watch it. If there was a third-person one of me watching the person do it and being able to see what they're doing, I definitely would watch it. So that's it. Another one in the bag. Two twice as nice. We have got two episodes of a podcast now, Artie. Does that make us, like, official podcasters?
Yeah, I mean, doing one bad podcast is pretty bad, but doing two really bad podcasts is elite territory.
Well, you know what they say, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on you. So, shame on all of you for listening to this, and thank you. We are available to view and listen to in lots of other mediums. Artie, where can they find your lovely word smithery?
In one place, TikTok. Before Tom blows his load and starts telling you on all the platforms he's on, I'll just keep mine very simple. You can find me on TikTok at BoxyArtie.
Well, it's just because, like Artie said in a video of his recently, I am like a hyperactive northern cocker spaniel. I can't just sit and do one thing. So it's less so that I've got like a media mogul empire. It's more like jack of all trades, master of none. So you can find me on TikTok, which is at Retro Revival. You can find me on YouTube, Retro Revival Tom. And then you can find me on Twitch, which is retro.revival1. Because there must be already another Retro Revival out there. We will hunt them down when we have enough fans to build up a posse, and we will take my name back.
There is another 30-something gamers podcast as well.
I did see that. Do you think? I saw they only had one episode, though. Everywhere I found
them. It seemed like the start of something beautiful.
But then...
One episode.
But... was it recent? Because I didn't listen. I couldn't bring myself to listen to the competition in case they were better than us.
No, it was a few years ago, and it does seem like it was a great idea, or it was a drunken night decision to start a podcast. And then when they finally got it out, they realized it wasn't for them, or they weren't cut out for it. But I am inclined to listen to it to see if they've got our format as well, because we might have to defend ourselves in court, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Please bear that in mind.
Well, this is it. They might have had the foresight, listen to the first one, thought, nah, this isn't for us. We're not entertaining. We're not charismatic at all. Let's give it up. Whereas we just keep beating a dead horse.
Oh, I'll give us 5 episodes before we throw in the towel.
Well, I think from earlier on, 5 episodes. Can I survive 5 episodes without ending up swirling into a sea of depression brought on by your southern pessimism?
Yeah. Or am I just going to blow my brains out listening to your drivelly optimism?
Drivelly optimism? No. I am an enema for the soul.
Well, you're definitely an enema.
On that note, I think we'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Drop a comment on, please. Any constructive criticism, we can take it on the chin. Artie regularly does. And we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with episode 3 if we haven't both realised were shit.
And on that note, loved you to speak to you, mate.
Yeah, you
too, man. Until next time. Take care.